Welcome back. You are listening to Nathan Hate on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Be sure to like the video and subscribe to the channel if you have not already. And with that, I'd like to welcome in my co-host, Modern Vintage Gamer.
Hello, Nate. It's great to be here. How are you doing? And what are we talking about today?
I am doing well, as we are in the week of major releases with Mario Wonder, just a couple of days away, alongside Spider-Man 2, which got rave reviews. And as we both discussed in our prior episode, we are expecting similar reviews when it comes to Mario Wonder, potentially eclipsing a 90 on Metacritic, if not even higher, rivaling that of Super Mario World. What we will find out if that's the case in just a couple of more days. But today we are going to be talking about some of the recent Switch 2 rumors that have begun to circulate and whether or not there's any foundation to them, because while discussion around them has been quite vast, a lot of people have made some knee-jerk reactions into believing them or, on the contrast, dismissing them entirely. But including that, I will provide some new information that I have been able to confirm via my own sources, and we'll get into that later in the episode. But I want to begin with some of the rumors that had circulated a few weeks ago, citing that Tokyo Game Show was a venue in which Switch 2 was a conversation point among industry members, and some of the rumors that came from it were quite perplexing to me, and I'm sure you're familiar with these rumors as well.
I am, yes, but let the fine audience know what we're talking about.
So a couple of weeks ago, a Twitter account known as Nash Weedle put out a miniature tweet thread that had made mention of some of the discussion points about the Switch 2 at Tokyo Game Show, in which included that Metroid Prime 4 was being shown to individuals outside of Retro. And this claim was just very bewildering to me because, of course, people outside of Retro have seen Metroid Prime 4, marketing departments and such would have seen it. Various people in Nintendo's departments, be it regional departments like NCL, NOA, or NOE, would be getting fairly consistent updates on the status of the game so that they could begin marketing plans and such. So the claim really had no true foundation to it. It was rather safe guesstimates, in my opinion. But they also made some more curious claims, citing that Xbox, not Microsoft, but Xbox, saw the Switch 2 at Tokyo Game Show. And this is one of those things that really stood out to me, because this claim, while safe in many ways, because Microsoft is a development partner for Nintendo and even Sony, as we know, they will be bringing Call of Duty to Nintendo platforms with the acquisition of Activision Blizzard, now Final. But they are also the publishing house behind Minecraft. And during the Switch generation, they had assisted in bringing Ori and the Blind Forest and some other games over to the Switch platform.
GoldenEye, Banjo, there's a couple of them. They're out there.
So for a development partner to see hardware is by no means a surprise. But Tokyo Game Show really isn't the venue to have these types of demonstrations. And considering Xbox and Microsoft is stationed just a soccer field away from NOA headquarters, if there were to be a media or not a media briefing, a partner type sharing event between business partners, they could just cross the street. They wouldn't have to go to Tokyo Game Show to see this type of demonstration. And again, Tokyo Game Show really isn't the venue for partners and such to have those type of demonstrations. Gamescom, yes. GDC, yes. E3, to a certain extent, yes. But not Tokyo Game Show. So that claim was just odd to me. And it felt as though they were just hedging bets to say, let me put out this information. It's something that no one can really come out and outright deny.
Right.
But no one is also going to confirm it. But to me, it doesn't really add up. Something about it is just off because it's so far-fetched to me.
It is to me as well, Nate. I think as an overarching thing, I do want to say this, and hopefully I don't get myself in trouble. I don't think I will, but with Gamescom, there was obviously a report that came out about how behind closed doors there was some type of demonstration that was shown. We've talked about this before on this particular podcast, And I will say that I heard some chatter going around about that as well. I mean, it was probably one of the worst kept secrets going around Gamescom, that there was something happening with the Switch 2, right? I've heard nothing about at Tokyo Game Show. I've heard radio silence about anything that may have happened at Tokyo Game Show. I think the difficulty is with kind of trying to corroborate or trying to, you know, formulate some type of realistic expectation that, yes, Xbox was shown the Switch 2 hardware behind closed doors or you know, to Nintendo, or Nintendo showed it to Microsoft or Xbox, is that, like you said, Nate, it can never really be corroborated. It can never really be proven to be true unless some big outlet, you know, came out and said something about it, which they didn't, which gives me pause to think that this actually was a thing that actually happened. And to your point, yeah, I mean, it doesn't require everyone being in Tokyo for some type of meeting to be set up between Microsoft and Nintendo when literally they are in the same town here in the US. So I find it very, very difficult to imagine, to believe that the Xbox thing actually happened.
Yeah, and even though Xbox does have, you know, Xbox Japan, where they are able to work on some of those Xbox deals with Japanese publishers and partners, you could see or make the argument that Xbox would be meeting with Nintendo at Tokyo Game Show, but that would be mostly to discuss some, you know, upcoming deals, maybe related to Minecraft, or if they were going to do other deals related to, you know, NSO, those types of things. But it would never be the venue to really do that type of technical demonstration.
It just doesn't make sense. Uh-huh. And then you could say, well, Nintendo maybe had offsite meetings at the HQ. And even that, while, you know, I mean, look, you can't rule it out, right? Maybe there was some type of lunch meeting or something that happened. We're just throwing darts at a dartboard at this point, you know, trying to, you know, make something, you know, formulate something that may have happened. But I just have to go with kind of my gut on this one. And that is, like I said, Gamescom, there was chatter going around. There were things being said. Jez Corden was tweeting stuff about, I mean, there was stuff happening at Gamescom. And if you go back and look at Tokyo Game Show, there wasn't really anything like that. And maybe correct me if I'm wrong, Nate, but I don't believe any outlets kind of mention anything about, you know, possible Switch 2 demos or anything like that. It just, and that's kind of, that backs up what, you know, what my info is as well. And that was, nothing really happened at TGS this year, as far as I know. And if something did, it was absolutely airtight that none of us are privy to, except maybe a very, very small handful of people. And it's hard for me to imagine that some information got out to, you know, Nash Weedle, but it hasn't been corroborated elsewhere by an outlet.
Yeah, when I was checking with individuals that I knew who were in attendance at Tokyo Game Show this year, just to see if the Switch 2 was a conversation point, the feedback I got was no, it was not a topic of conversation for the majority. There was no whispers, there was really no chatter, even on the show floor, about the Switch successor. And some may take that as a concerning sign, but that is not necessarily the case. It just means that Nintendo may not have been discussing this with partners at this specific venue. If they were talking to partners about it at Gamescom, they may not have needed to repeat it at Tokyo Game Show. And that's not to say that there weren't discussions, as you had mentioned. Mm-hmm. There could have been some offsite meetings with partners and others, individuals. And they went in, they did about their business and went out, and they simply were not discussing it outside of those meetings. So there were no conversations overheard by other people, or the meetings that were had were just not really that significant in terms of information. It could have just been a repeat of what was discussed at Gamescom. And there's really no reason to revisit that information a few weeks later.
Yep.
So if there were discussions, and there may have been, they could have just been insignificant, or they were what was discussed weeks prior during the Gamescom. But the idea that only one account came out with a number of claims that supposedly took place at Tokyo Game Show definitely stands out as suspicious because nobody had come out and say, yeah, we can independently verify some of these claims. Instead, it was just silence. Right. And usually if a report comes out and there is no one else to comment on it, it means those claims may not have any backing to them. There is no foundation in which they stand. And the majority of these claims, I think that is what we're looking at, like Xbox being shown Switch 2 at Tokyo Game Show, or even the claim that Panic Button was a developer of Conversation at Tokyo Game Show. This also stood out to me because Panic Button is a very talented outsourced company. They have ported a number of games to the current Switch. They have done a phenomenal job with the projects that they have been commissioned to do. But I don't think they would be a company that would really be coming up in Tokyo Game Show because, to my best of recollection, they have not been commissioned by any Japanese company. They have primarily been sought after by Western companies like Bethesda.
Right. Yeah, that also is, it just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit for me. I could see Panic Button potentially be at some of those Gamescom demonstrations, potentially being in the room for something like that. But yeah, I mean, what has Panic Button done? Obviously, they've done Doom 2016, Doom Eternal. Did they port Apex Legends to the Switch, I believe?
Yes.
And they did something else. I can't remember the fourth game. Yeah, I mean, they're a port studio, right? And, you know, they do quality work most of the time. I think the only real miss was Apex because I feel like they were just under some serious crunch to get that out when you know they were requested to. But as we've seen, they do very good work with the Switch hardware. That doesn't mean though that they are developing Switch 2 games right now. There are some very good port studios out there that do quality work on the Switch. Are we assuming that every single one of those has a Switch 2 dev kit? It just doesn't fit for me, Nate. Like you said, it's a small kind of Western studio, or it's a small kind of port studio that focuses on Western games mostly. And I just don't buy it personally. I just don't think that fits at all.
Yeah, I don't think they would be a particular point of conversation at Tokyo Game Show. Will they eventually have dev kit? Oh,
absolutely.
Or the Switch 2? Absolutely. There's going to be a studio out there who is developing an ambitious game for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series, and they're going to need an external studio to assist on porting it to the Switch successor, and that's where Panic Button would come in. But it feels as though it's one of those claims that maybe it was just using logic and reasoning, and let me attach a well-known studio that's done well on the Switch to a rumor to make it appear to have validity, when in reality it may just be a claim that is just being a whisper into the wind. And because you see it, because you can say, well, this makes a lot of sense, you use it to add credibility to the remaining list of claims like Xbox at Tokyo Game Show. Right. Because if you want to say one is true, then you stand to reason that the rest of the claims would also be true. So you throw in one of those safe claims like Panic Button has dev kits for the Switch 2. Well, yes, but that can be completely independent of it being discussed at Tokyo Game Show or any of these other claims. One doesn't necessarily correlate to the other. And these rumors circulated for a while. It definitely spurred a lot of discussion. It went through the rumor mills. Nash Weedle later appeared again with the claim that the Yakuza games would also be coming to the Switch successor. And we have seen Sega and Yakuza producers comment on why Yakuza hasn't come to the Switch, one of the reasons being they didn't feel as though the platform was a good fit for the series. So if it were to come to the Switch successor, that would definitely be an about face. But again, this is one of those claims that, is there truth to the information, or is it kind of hedging a bet of maybe Sega has seen that the Switch could be a viable platform for the Yakuza franchise, so when the successor does come around, that it potentially could house the Yakuza games moving forward and Like a Dragon games. And I believe the rumor had also stipulated that these would come out around the launch of the system. Now, this is something I had begun to dug around a little bit to see if there was any backing and foundation to this information. And on my very brief and surface level search, all I was able to come up with in the present is that there are no such plans to do so. Now, I cannot say with 100% confidence whether this information is valid. It comes from a good source. But the problem is if this is indeed a plan, this could be something that is still in motion. It may not be finalized. It could just be a discussion internally of whether it's coming or not coming. So it doesn't mean Yakuza and Like a Dragon may never come to the Switch or a Nintendo platform. It could be something that Sega is evaluating. And it runs into that situation of, by making generally a vague claim, if it does happen, it doesn't necessarily make you right. And if it doesn't happen, it also doesn't necessarily make you wrong. It could be something that is an ongoing evaluation and discussion point at Sega between Nintendo, or there is no such action taking place whatsoever.
I think for me, the Yakuza information, it gives me pause because from a technical standpoint, obviously they would need to port the Dragon engine to Nintendo or to via the Nintendo SDK, I should say. And that sounds like a massive undertaking. You know, again, is it something that Sega is planning on doing at some point? I mean, probably. I think Yakuza on the Switch would be would do very well, I would think, overall. I think it could be a great platform for those styles of games. But there's some technical issues and limitations and things that have to be figured out to get there. And when we talk about bringing a game to the Switch that is, and we have to remember, when you remember when Like a Dragon came out on the Xbox, it launched with the Xbox Series S and X, it got criticized because it ran at pretty low resolutions, if you recall. I think it was running at like 720p on the Series S and maybe 1080p on the Series X. Someone may tell me that's not entirely true, but I'm very, very sure that it was running at pretty low resolutions, and people were saying, well, why isn't it running at 4K? And it really has to do with the Dragon engine. And so bringing that engine to the Switch and then optimizing for ARM, I think there is a lot of work that's involved there. Is it something that Sega is looking at doing, or are they currently working on? They could very well be doing that. And why wouldn't you want to bring, you know, the Yakuza games to, you know, what could well be the world's number one console in terms of sales here, in a year or so from now. So why wouldn't you do that? I think Sega probably is looking into doing something like that, but I agree with you, Nate. I think overall there is some technical things that really have to be figured out, and that is not only a resource investment, it's a money investment. We're talking, you know, tens of millions, maybe, $100 million to bring something like this over to the Switch. It's not something that I think Sega, would be just kind of throwing out there as, oh, let's do this. You know, I think if this was actually the case, its development would have started quite a while ago, maybe a few years ago now. So it's really just, I just can't see it being on the Switch 2 or its Switch successor at the moment. But I agree that it's something probably that we may end up seeing in the future.
Yeah, I mean, Sega likes to go through their backlog of games. So could it happen one day? Yes. It all comes down whether or not Sega believes there is a market and an audience for the game on the platform. Now, the rumor itself, I don't necessarily invest that much attention or money in at the moment. It's just one of those cases of, could it happen? Yes. Will it happen? We'll find out. I'm really not putting that much stock in it being in that launch window for the Switch 2. I just don't believe that is one of Sega's long-term plans at the moment. So, those type of rumors definitely stood out, and it just kind of gave me kind of a side eye to them of, I'm not too sure about these. It feels a little too vague, and in some cases a little too safe to actually have any solid backing to them. But we also had additional rumors come out in just the last week or so, and these were about Nintendo potentially utilizing a two SKU approach to the Switch successor, one SKU being digital only, and then having the standard digital and physical media skew. Mm-hmm. And the rumor continued to suggest that a launch would happen at the end of September or the first week of November. And this rumor went around for a few days, and many had dismissed it because certain parts of the rumor stood out to them. I believe the code name mentioned in the rumor was just Next Gen Switch. And people said, that's not the code name. If you know anything about the system, you know that's not the code name that's being used. So they used that to dismiss the entire rumor. Now, this stood out to me in a very curious manner because a couple of weeks prior, I was sent information that largely matched this.
Okay.
The issue was, is I didn't have the time to corroborate it with any of my own contacts and sources, so I couldn't verify the information. And it was definitely information that I looked at and said, some of these claims I'm not too, you know, confident about, because we're a year out from some of those prospective release dates that were given. I don't believe a development partner would be told in September of 2023 that they are targeting a specific day of September of 2024, or even a day of November 2024.
Right.
Now, if the information were to say second half 2024 or Q2, Q3 of 2024, I think I could entertain the information a little more. But when you say a specific date, I believe it was something along the lines of like September 24th, 2024 and November 5th or 6th, 2024, that will immediately bring me pause, because it's way too specific for something that is still over a year from release. Because mm-hmm. those type of details typically aren't ironed out until just a few months from release, you know, like 6 months time, not 12 to 13 months in advance, at least not to partners. Internally at Nintendo, yes, they would have dates and times all penciled in, and they are erasing those and changing them periodically. But to relay it to development partners, I just don't buy that.
It seems quite far-fetched to me as well. I think you're right. There's no way that you can really lock in a date right now with any level of certainty that that's going to be an actual date. And overall, yeah, I mean, it's just so difficult. Again, you know, it's these kind of tweets come out, this information, these rumors, whatever you want to call them, come out. And we just, a lot of people just take it on their word, because there's really no way to push back and say, well, that's not true, you know. But ultimately, it's not really up to the listener to, you know, provide the burden of proof at the end of the day. But I agree with you, Nate. This one just seems a little far-fetched as well. I don't really know where this date has come from, but it just does not sound right to me. And you can look at, like you said, past history about how things are done, how you know, launches or the road to a console launch looks like. And I think with this one, you can really just go back and look at history and how Nintendo does launch systems and how they've launched systems, you know, for such a long time. And it's almost impossible for me to kind of take this one on face value and say this is real. I just don't think it's true at all.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, is that it's just way too specific, because anything in the supply line, the production line, manufacturing line, if it slips just a little bit, that will radically alter a release date.
Yes.
So to go to partners and say, we're launching September 15th, 2024 in September of 2023, that is a bold claim where you're assuming that there is going to be no issues whatsoever,
right,
happening in the world, be it on a supply line,
right,
worker strike, anything of the sort. And that just wouldn't happen that far in advance. Now, if this were April and they said, we're launching on October 15th, I'd say, okay, I believe that, because that's only 6 months.
Yep.
I would believe that, because that's typically the type of lead time that we see from a console manufacturer, even when it comes to a public announcement, maybe a 6 month window, sometimes less, but it's never a year in advance with a specific date.
Yeah.
So that information just gives you that momentary pause of, is there any truth to this information? Or is it an individual who maybe got a little overzealous with vague information and they went too far with things?
I mean, I think so. Look, I don't really know who Nash Weedle's source is, you know, with this stuff. And he may well, you know, put stock in this person, that they may have some type of credentials, but it's, we just have to, you know, I mean, you just have to use kind of common sense on this one, honestly, Nate, and just know that this one just doesn't make any sense. I mean, there are a million different reasons why dates don't get locked in this early. I think they have dates in mind. You know, let's be clear on that. There's probably a window of time that they have roadmapped, but an actual set of dates, it just doesn't fit.
The secondary part of the rumor was that it would launch with two SKUs and it would come in at two different price points. The standard SKU, which would do digital and physical media, would launch around, I believe it was $450. And then the rumor went on to say that there would be a digital-only SKU that would come in at $400. And this was immediately dismissed, again, due to the information, like the code name, being incorrect. And I think this warranted a little more discussion, because some people were saying there's no way Nintendo would do this. But when you look at the current trend of how the gaming industry is moving, if I'm Nintendo, I am definitely entertaining the idea of doing a two SKU approach and having a digital only option that comes in slightly more affordable than the digital physical option. And we've seen this from Microsoft. We've seen this from Sony. So I don't know why Nintendo would intentionally go out of their way to be omitted in this fashion. Because as we discussed in a prior episode just a couple of weeks ago, digital is the trend the industry is moving towards. Nintendo has been trying to push us toward digital purchases using the voucher system, whereas having a digital only SKU would only, you know, amplify that type of business model further for them. So I do believe and feel as though this could potentially be an angle Nintendo does explore when it comes time to launch this hardware by offering a two SKU option.
You know what? So do I. I gave this some thought, you know, over a few days just before we kind of filmed this or recorded this, I should say. And it doesn't, you know, live outside the realm of possibility for me that there would be a two SKU approach. I mean, there's all this data. Obviously, we've talked about digital only SKUs. The other two hardware makers are doing it. They've already done it. So why not? I mean, I could definitely see Nintendo entertaining this idea for a little bit of a cheaper price. And to be completely honest, over time, starting to phase it in as the main system, as much as, you know, we hate that, I can definitely see maybe a two SKU approach here. I think it makes a lot of sense. There are people that, even on the Nintendo Switch, probably just play their games all digital, and you have to cater to those people. As much as I, you know, it pains me to say that, you have to cater to the all digital people, because at the end of the day, if you provide them with a cartridge slot that they never use, then it's just not feasible. It's just a waste of money at the end of the day. So if you can make it more appealing in both price and features for an all digital system, it makes a lot of sense. So yeah, I mean, will it launch with two SKUs? I don't know, but I think, let me put it this way. I think it's something that Nintendo, you know, could potentially do in this scenario. I wouldn't be surprised if it did launch with two SKUs. I mean, we've already seen it with Sony and Xbox. So yeah, I could see it happening with Nintendo as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, is that when it came out, that information definitely stood out to me as kind of that situation of, I can't immediately dismiss this because I could see Nintendo exploring this avenue. Mm-hmm. Why not do it?
Right.
You ultimately are able to control your ecosystem with a stronger fist in such a case. You net more money from doing digital sales. You get to push Nintendo Switch Online stronger on that type of platform. And you, as the console manufacturer, now you control everything. And one of the things Nintendo has been burdened with heavily this generation has been piracy due to the exploit that was discovered on the launch Switch that has addressed with NVIDIA and such. But now Nintendo is regarded as a very conservative company. And I'm sure NVIDIA is doing their damnedest to ensure that the successor is not going to be hacked and security is going to be top notch. Mm-hmm. But what better way to combat leaks from street date violations and such than having that digital only SKU? Right. And as you mentioned, like, I don't believe Nintendo is going to pivot to digital only in the upcoming generation, but maybe a generation or two from now, Nintendo will go that path. Because right now, there's still a huge physical market for them, especially in Japan, where I believe it's somewhere in the area of 60% of their software sales remain physical.
Yep.
But going that two SKU approach is definitely something I see Nintendo entertaining this generation. Now, whether or not it would be at launch, you know, that remains to be seen. And I do think the price point would have to be something significantly greater than just $50. $50 isn't going to get you to impulse buy a digital only system versus having the option of both physical and digital. You have to go for something at least $100 less, like we see with the PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. So I think the price point in that rumor may be inaccurate, but I would definitely entertain the idea of the two SKU approach as having some sort of foundation to it, whether or not the information is actually based on an ongoing conversation with Nintendo to some of its development partners, or if it's just that safe assumption of this is the trending of the industry, so Nintendo should look to replicate and mirror it in their own way, you know, remains to be seen.
Right.
But the fact that the information did come my way a couple of weeks prior that had mentioned a two SKU, a release date in the second half of 2024 again, it caught my eye when I saw it appear from an individual that I have no familiarity with, and definitely gave me great pause and hesitation for a moment where I began to wonder, is this information, does it actually have some sort of foundation? Is this something that is circulating amongst partners, or is it a chance that the individual who gave me the information is also the source of this other individual and it all comes from the same well? Wasn't able to get any clarity on that, but it definitely caught my eye when I saw a very similar information surface from something that I had been told just a few days prior.
It's definitely an interesting one, and I think out of everything that we've said so far, this probably has the most credibility. I think, like I said, it's probably something we'll see at some point. As much now, as
there was a rumor that also went along the lines of the two SKU approach in just the last week or so that suggested that the digital-only SKU would not have backwards compatibility, but the other physical media SKU would have backwards compatibility. So I guess in summary, the Switch successor would have no digital backwards compatibility. And this rumor kind of baffled me, because if I were Nintendo, I think I would go the opposite approach, where I would enable digital backwards compatibility, but then disable physical backwards compatibility if I were to change the medium in which you are able to use physical media. Because why would I go out of my way to disable digital backwards compatibility?
Yeah, this one, I will say, this one is one that I really struggle trying to make sense out of for the exact reason that you mentioned. So let's kind of walk through this for a second. So let's say you've got two systems. You've got an all digital system and you have, you know, just a regular system with a cartridge slot. The word was the all digital system wouldn't be backward compatible, but the regular one would be via physical media. Now, let's kind of walk through that. So what it's basically telling us is if you have invested in physical Switch games, then you can bring those forward. Great, right? Whatever. That's something that, you know, is what people are expecting. But here's the problem that I have with this is that what happens if I just want to download a game from the eShop onto my digital only SKU? What what's being said here is, unless I'm not understanding it right, Nate, what's being said here is that that game will not run on a next generation Switch model, right? So that doesn't make any sense to me at all, because now what you're saying is there is some type of feature or some type of flag, you know, baked into the firmware, knowing that, hey, if I'm running the Switch 2 firmware on this digital model, I know that I can't run any old games because I don't have the cartridge slot, you know, hooked up or whatever. So for me, that just, it just doesn't make sense, because all of a sudden you're separating the two systems out with a pretty, you know, big feature. You know, you're taking a feature away from one of them, one of the systems, which is probably going to be the more expensive one out of the two, right? And, you know, so it just doesn't fit for me in that regard. So I think backward compatibility is an all or nothing thing in the way that I'm thinking about it, because you're going to have one set of firmware across all your products, and for this to be, you know, something that potentially could be the case, I think I agree with you, Nate, where you kind of flip them around. That makes more sense to me. But even that, for me, still doesn't fit. I think that Nintendo is either going to offer this or they're not going to offer it, right? And if they don't offer it, there's going to be some type of patches or upgrade path, you know, to play old games anyway. But I personally just can't get behind this concept that one system will be and one system won't be. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. I mean, that would be like the Xbox Series S existing with the Xbox Series X and saying your digital games from the Xbox One don't work on your Xbox Series S and X, but your physical games work on your Xbox Series X. And you'd sit there and say, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it just doesn't compute. And, you know, you would think, you know, as we said, it should go the opposite way. And as you mentioned, you know, it feels as though if Nintendo is going to have backwards compatibility, then it's going to be 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's either do it all or do nothing.
Yes.
So it's either go 100% or don't give it at all. You can't do some weird hybrid 50% approach to backwards compatibility. And we don't need to revisit the backwards compatibility debate and topic again, you know, when it comes to the Switch 2. And, you know, even at Tokyo Game Show and Gamescom, there's still a lot of fog on this particular subject. There is no clarity on it. That remains the case even as of this recording.
Right.
That's why we put out that episode of the Switch 2 needs to have backwards compatibility. It is a very important pivotal feature for hardware in 2023 and moving forward. It's just that question of why is there still that cloud of uncertainty around this particular topic when it comes to the hardware. But yeah, when this rumor came up and everyone was discussing it, as I heard it and then read the transcript, it was just very confusing to me because it was going in the complete opposite direction that one would have, you know, assumed. So if there's any validity to the claim that may be the worst implementation of backwards compatibility a company could do. So I just cannot see Nintendo doing it. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this one. Sorry, Nick, you may be listening to this, but I don't think this is right. It just doesn't fit. You're either all in on BC or you're not, and that's really that for me. I mean, if you look at the Xbox, like you said, Xbox Series S and X, they're backward compatible across the board, and that's what I would expect from the Switch 2. Same thing with the PlayStation 5. Doesn't matter if it's digital or if it's physical or it's has a disc drive in it or a detachable disc drive, you attach it, you're going to be playing PS4 games no matter what, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the same thing.
And there's also been a patent that's been going around the last few days where people think this shows the hardware layout of what the Switch successor could potentially be. And the patent shows, you know, the standard face buttons of A, B, X, Y, and then it shows a single analog stick, and then it shows it in a similar form factor of a Switch Lite. And for some reason, people think, oh, this must be what the Switch 2 is going to look like. It's not. The patent is about moving the face buttons and such to create more screen space. It has nothing to do with a Switch successor. The Switch successor is not going to be a single analog system. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine the nightmare of backwards compatibility or any type of ports that you would get of current gen games if you lacked a second analog stick?
Are we going back to the N64? I mean, what's happening here? What are we doing here?
Apparently, that's what individuals would want us to believe when they look at these patents and report it as this is the form factor of the Switch 2. And as has been said countless times ad nauseum, if a patent is made public by Nintendo, it means it is a concept or it is an idea that Nintendo is exploring or was exploring. It is not representative of an unannounced product. You are not going to find out what the Switch successor or any hardware from Nintendo is going to look like from a public patent that is revealed and released before the hardware in question is announced. Yep. If it's public, it means Nintendo is likely not using it. Nintendo keeps their secrets secret as long as they can. Mm-hmm. They're not going to publish a patent for something that they have yet to announce.
Right.
So why this continues to come up every time a patent is discovered and people try to link it to something that is yet to be announced, or could this form factor be? No. Some of the early patents from 2016 showed an oval-shaped system with scroll wheels and the left and right trigger position. The Switch was not oval. It does not have scrolling buttons.
Yeah.
It's just an idea that Nintendo may have been considering at a time, and they patented it with a gameplay idea or how you would utilize these types of features in a game. They don't mean anything. The rumors have no foundation. It's an interesting discussion point for maybe a day or two, but it's not indicative of anything that is happening. Move on.
Yep.
Leave it alone. Stop reporting it.
I never look at patents, Nate. Like, I mean, they're kind of interesting to you know, maybe chat about, but like, I mean, you're right. There's just nothing really here. And I think a lot of people, to be honest, aren't really sure what they're looking at and trying to make sense of when these patents were, you know, created and renewed and all that stuff. And then trying to fit the patent into something is a dangerous game because, you know, we kind of believe that the only thing Nintendo is focused on right now is the Switch 2. But the reality is, number one, that they're a company that gets involved in all sorts of different things as well. So, you know, I just don't look at patents, honestly. Every time some new one is talked about, I just kind of roll my eyes and be like, okay, number one, they either didn't read this right or it's for a system it's already been released, or whatever. It's for something else. You know, usually it's those things. So I tend to not get too invested in the patent stuff most of the time, at least.
I mean, some of the patent stuff shows it's an interesting conversation point of potential of what if Nintendo did utilize this gameplay concept, or what if we did get a system one day that was shaped as an oval, or what if the Switch was oval shaped with scroll buttons?
Sure.
Like, how would that have changed things? But it's more of a retrospect thing, not something that you should look at in the present and say, ooh, what's this? Because when you think back to some of the Wii prototypes, one of the controllers was just a star. Nintendo at one point patented a horse saddle. Luckily, it never came to market.
Was this for MC Horace by chance?
No, it was not for MC Horace. That horse hopefully has been put down and turned to glue by now.
Taken out the back.
Yep, like, come here, MC Horace. Went the way of Pyomai from The Sopranos. Ralphie took care of that MC Horace for us. That rhymed, and you know it rhymed. But now something a little more exciting. Has nothing to do with patents. This is information that I had been chasing for a few weeks now and was given permission to share this. Ooh. And this has been a topic of some speculation where people have assumed maybe this feature would be included on the Switch 2. Others were kind of wondering if it would be. What I can share with you today is that the Switch 2 will have ray reconstruction.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I think maybe that might explain why, and I'm just kind of spitballing here, Nate. Obviously, that Matrix demo at Gamescom was, what we were told, it was very impressive. It showed work really well. Maybe that's one of the reasons why it looks so good when it was kind of shown behind closed doors, that reconstruction.
Yeah, that would definitely be a contributing factor as to why the ray tracing in the Matrix demo on the Switch 2 targeted hardware was impressing so many, because ray reconstruction is quite an advanced technique. And I should add the stipulation that the results and the quality of what you'd be seeing here is going to depend on the denoisers, mm-hmm. which will be used. And that will also come down to, each game that is utilizing the technology. So it's not going to be universally across the board impressive. There could be some cases where it's less impressive. But by having ray reconstruction be part of the Switch 2 SoC, you're essentially ensuring that the Switch successor will be able to match or outpace the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series in the ray tracing department. It can easily now match them.
Yeah.
It's going to evolve. It can get better. And as NVIDIA furthers, perfects the technology, they can always update it with firmware. So it can continue to get better on the Switch 2. So it essentially guarantees that the Switch 2 hardware has state of the art compared to the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X.
I just want to be very clear when you say outperform the PS5 and stuff like that. We don't want to misconstrue what you're saying here. That
no, strictly just in ray tracing,
right?
And no other category.
Yeah. Because there's been a lot of different takes about how powerful this new system is going to be and whatnot. And I think we just need to be very, very clear about what you're saying here. Just in the ray tracing stuff, which makes sense, because obviously, we are going into a new generation. NVIDIA is the partner. They do have really, really good state-of-the-art ray tracing techniques. This hardware is going to be more modern as far as, when the SoC has been developed and ready. So yeah, getting a new generation of ray tracing on consoles makes sense to me, and we have talked about potentially a PS5 Pro that has more advanced ray tracing. That would be something that I could potentially see a reason for a PlayStation 5 Pro. But at this juncture, with a new piece of hardware coming out from Nintendo, having more advanced ray tracing makes sense to me. We're not stuck in, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. This is 2024. Well, it will be 2024. So yeah, I would definitely expect to see, some more advanced ray tracing techniques with this new hardware. So having that feature sounds very exciting. I can't wait. Can't wait to see more.
Yeah, I can also say that, as Benny would likely be able to ascertain at this point, that the chip of the Switch successor is a custom chip. It has a custom feature set, and there is no chip that you could go and do a one-to-one comparison to even get a general idea of what the Switch successor is capable of. Because as we said back in August, when there was some discussion about what DLSS is being used on it, and I had heard that it's DLSS 3.5, but it may not be feature complete with what you see on PC. And right. One of the features that I believe is being omitted from the Switch successor is frame generation. But the fact that they are using a custom feature set means it can have a lot of the current day technology that NVIDIA has continued to bring to PC, like ray reconstruction. That is a fairly new release from mm-hmm. NVIDIA on PCs. So that shows what this hardware can have in terms of a feature set. It can have really anything that NVIDIA wants to put on it at the moment. And it allows them to really build a system that can I don't want to say future-proof, but it's going to be able to perform very admirably for, you know, the foreseeable future. This is quite a well-made SoC for Nintendo by their partners at NVIDIA, and having Rave Reconstruction and other custom feature sets on this custom SoC ensures that this is going to be a viable platform that's not going to be outdated come, you know, 2026. Mm-hmm. This is something that can stand the duration of this generation and not feel as though it is antiquated technology in just a couple of more years. This is something that is very modern. And, you know, Nintendo is quite fortunate to have partnered with a company like NVIDIA, who continues to make huge strides in the mobile market with their technology. And they're just pushing the envelope every day further and further when it comes to PC and mobile technology. So this was really a pairing made in heaven for Nintendo to go with this type of company. Because while AMD is a competent company in their own rights, they have crafted fine hardware with the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. NVIDIA is just far beyond them when it comes to AI technologies like DLSS, Ray Reconstruction, and so many other things.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's where, when the conversation comes forth of where's the Switch successor going to be in terms of raw power, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It comes down to that feature set. It comes down to how much RAM is the platform going to have. Because now with Ray Reconstruction, with DLSS 3.5, you can put out high quality visuals at a fraction of the raw power that other platforms would need to be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's no longer, you know, bar charts, right? You know, being the leader on the bar chart, you know, having the most teraflops or the most, you know, the biggest performance and all that stuff. If you do key updates in key areas, you know, you talk about loading speeds. We talked about loading speeds in a previous episode, talking about enhanced visuals that look and run faster. And you talk about, you know, a overall faster SoC with much improved memory bandwidth and increased memory. All of a sudden, you've got a system that not only is a lot more powerful than the previous generation, but it's also something that can still run, you know, with a battery life of, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 hours. I'm not sure what we'll see with the new hardware, but we know Nintendo is very, very careful when it comes to providing a system that has some semblance of a decent battery life. So, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Nate, you know, they kind of have the golden ticket right now. You know, they're at the Wonka factory and they got the golden ticket because their competition is with the other guys, and their partner with NVIDIA, who is, you know, when they partner with NVIDIA for the Nintendo Switch, I think some people had some hesitation, some, you know, concern, is this really going to work? Obviously it has, and it has worked very well for them, but NVIDIA has not stopped iterating on mobile, on you know, mobile SoCs. And I think ultimately, what we see from the new hardware is going to be very impressive. And you're right, it's going to be a fast system, but only because of, you know, new features, new technology that has been introduced. But, you know, it's not going to compete in terms of specs in any other way other than just be a very optimized, very fast system, very, you know, hybrid system, just like before, that runs games better and makes them look better and makes them load faster. And I think those things are the key areas where Nintendo needs to focus on. And I think, you know, they're obviously doing that.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a case of you're working smarter, not harder. And that kind of fits Nintendo's philosophy exceptionally well. You're not trying to compete in terms of brute force and just raw computations by working smarter and not harder and making your platform efficient. that is a smart direction. That's going to be the direction I believe the industry will be moving in the coming generation.
Yeah.
Nintendo kind of changed the game in that way, or I should say Nvidia changed the game in that way, where they showed we have this technology, we have DLSS, and other companies are creating their own competitors to DLSS. AMD has FSR, where they're trying to find tools and methods where brute force alone isn't going to carry any type of computation. You can have AI do the rendering. You can outperform what the raw specs say. So it's going to be very interesting when we finally do see the performance of this SoC when it comes to the Switch successor. And as you said, you know, they had the tech demos and such at Gamescom with The Matrix Awakens that impressed a lot of people. And now being able to confirm that ray reconstruction is a feature for the Switch successor, one can better understand why the ray tracing was impressing those who had seen this demo so much, because that is an impressive feature for the Switch 2 to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an interesting day if the Switch successor is indeed the market leader in terms of ray tracing on the home market field, because having that type of conversation, be it on a Digital Foundry video or whoever, leading with Switch successor has the best ray tracing. And then, you know, the PlayStation 5 Pro or whichever SKU you want to choose has the best resolution, and the Xbox has the best frame rate. It's going to create a very interesting conversation, but I do think it's important that given that this is going to be a custom chip, that when you try to come up with comparisons, nothing's going to be a one-to-one comparison. You're going to come up with some rough estimates that maybe outperform what the Switch successor could do, or you're going to come in under what the Switch successor is going to do. So yes, there's a lot of leaks out there about some of the computations, what a teraflop general realm could be, but there is no chip that you can do a direct comparison to. This isn't like the Switch with the X1, and that was being used in an NVIDIA Shield. So you could have a general idea of how that could perform. There is nothing currently on the market that is using the SoC that the Switch 2 will be utilizing. Mm-hmm. So at best, you could only kind of create a general idea of what we could be seeing in terms of performance, but you will never be able to replicate and get a one-to-one demonstration of what we will be getting.
Yep, totally agree. I totally agree. And look, I'm very excited about the future. I think I think Nintendo's really going to have a very successful decade and maybe beyond that. I think it's very, very exciting.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the day this hardware is announced and we get to see some of the first trailers and demos of games coming to the platform, because we've seen how the mobile market has advanced with Resident Evil 4 coming to the iPhone of all products.
Good Lord.
Just imagine what Nintendo is going to be able to demonstrate on their platform when the time comes to announce it and show us what the future holds for the Nintendo hardware and maybe the Switch line, as we don't know what the branding will be of the platform. But with that, we go to some of the Streamlab questions for this week. And our first one comes from Derachi, who donated $3 and writes, will the sequel to Super Mario Brothers Wonder be called Super Mario Brothers Tutor?
No. No, it won't.
No. I think it's going to be called Super Mario Brothers The Oneaters. If you get that movie reference, post it in the comment section below. I have a feeling nobody will.
I don't get that reference. Should I be getting the reference?
Probably not. You never heard of the Oneaters?
No.
That's a shame. We then had a Streamlabs question from No Fruit Snack For You.
Aw.
Donated $3 and writes, what will an all-digital future look like if all three companies don't go at the same time? If only Sony and Microsoft drop out of the physical next-gen game, will Nintendo be the only one on the shelves at Target? That's a big advantage. Thanks, guys. Love ya.
Why don't you go ahead and answer this one?
I mean, that would be a very trying time for retailers, because I guess it would depend on the publishers who have made the pivot. If it's all third parties and the only games that Target is currently stocking would just be Nintendo published games, it's not that significant of an advantage. If third party publishers are still printing retail and physical games for all their Switch line or Nintendo line at that point, then it would be an advantage. Yeah. But if Microsoft and Sony had fully pivoted to digital only, I would imagine pretty much every third party partner at that point would be digital only. And really the only physical copies we'd be seeing is if they had partnered with a company like IM 8-bit or Limited Run Games. And as we know, they aren't really stocked at any retailers except for Best Buy in select cases. So if two of three go digital only and third party partners side with them, I think it would essentially just force the holdout
right
to pivot as soon as possible, because retailers wouldn't allocate the shelf space to just, you know, Nintendo games exclusively, because at that point, how many games does Nintendo put out a year? How long are you going to keep the game stock before you're doing clearance? And you're basically what? And just a little kiosk at that point.
Yeah. I mean, you are.
Then had a $1 donation from Brandon. Hey, Nate and MVG. Assuming PlayStation and Xbox go all digital with their next systems, would that force Nintendo to go all digital? I don't think third-party studios would make physical copies just for Nintendo games.
I think we're going to get a lot of these questions, and rightfully so, because, you know, people have been reading about all the stuff that's been going on. Best Buy, there's some talk about that, even though I think they... I'm not sure. Did they walk it back, the video games, or did they just clarify?
They just clarified that the only physical stuff that they're removing is like movies and such. They had never said games. People had just assumed it included games, and they came out and said, no, games stay.
I think people are, you know, slowly getting concerned that, yes, there is a digital age coming. Look, I think Nintendo will always do what Nintendo does. They're not going to be too worried about what the competition is doing. You know, if physical sales are still strong for Nintendo, and they are with the Switch, then they'll continue to do that. I think ultimately they'll decide to go all digital when they probably don't feel like it's worth the investment to produce physical media. So I don't think they're going to, you know, follow. I mean, in one way, they will follow suit, but I don't think they're you know, too worried about what Xbox and Sony's doing at this time.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo would follow suit if it just falls into that situation of all third-party publishers are no longer doing physical prints.
Yes.
And then Nintendo would have to sit there and say, well, that's where I wonder if Nintendo would just say, you can buy copies of our games online if you want physical. You can buy it from our Nintendo store. We're still partnering with, let's say, GameStop for physical online sales, or Amazon and such. We're not going to have a presence in store, but if you want a physical copy, there are online stores in which you can order one.
Right.
I could see that as an option. It's very similar to what LRG and IM8-bit and such do.
I could definitely see that too.
But yeah, if all third parties go that route, you really leave the first party and console manufacturers at their whim. Mm-hmm. It falls into a situation of, how are we going to sell shelf space to the retailers if all we have are our own games? And they're probably going to look at it and say, you release four or five games a year. This isn't worth us stocking. Because, I mean, to the surprise of many people, retailers don't make that much money on games. They use games to get you in the store, hopefully, you know, hoping you buy a refrigerator or a new TV.
Right.
They're not making money when you walk into, you know, Best Buy on Friday to pick up Spider-Man and Super Mario Wonder. They maybe netted $5 or $6 from, in total, from your purchase.
Yep.
Absolutely. So they would love to clear that space for something that they make a higher profit margin on than video games. So some retailers are probably hoping the digital era comes sooner so they can free up some of that space.
Yeah. Totally agree.
But yeah, digital era will be here one day. Just a question of when. It nears with each passing day. That was our last Streamlabs question for this week. If you'd like to support the channel, we have a Streamlabs link in the description below. Donate any dollar amount, ask a question, we'll answer it at the end of the episode. Donate $100 or more, we will dedicate the episode to you. And with that, I'd like to thank MVG for joining me, as always.
Always a pleasure, Knight. Thanks for having me on.
And let us know your thoughts in the comment section below on some of the outlandish Switch 2 rumors that have circulated the last couple of weeks, and whether or not you are excited about Ray Reconstruction being a feature in the Switch 2, and if you think the Switch 2 could potentially be the home console market leader when it comes to ray tracing, and if you got the Streamlabs reference to the Oneaters. Let us know in the comment section below. Be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and continue to embrace the hate.